Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Good morning. So today's scripture reading has come from Matthew and Ephesians. Matthew 5:7 says, "Happy are people who show mercy because they will receive mercy." Ephesians 2:4-7. "However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that He has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of His grace by goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus."
Church, say amen. Thank you. Hey, have a word of prayer with me. God, speak your word now. This is the bidding prayer of our hearts, so we ask this as the saints of age have. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and make them acceptable in thine sight, for you are our rock and you are our redeemer. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Final note of information for you. Some of you will want to get your flu shots. We have several persons who have helped to serve that capacity, and they are in the fellowship hall. And if you desire to get your flu shot, they can process you. I think there is some form of insurance that you'll have to fill out and those kind of details, but they'll be glad to get that for you as well. How many of you had a good weekend? Did some traveling? Had some fun, took some trips, maybe just went over to Chesterfield or something like that, or maybe you went to, I don't know where you went. I have a friend of mine who's here. His name is Reverend Troy Underwood. We want to greet him. He is the associate pastor at the Covenant United Church of Christ in, yeah, that's okay, you can do that. He is the associate pastor at the Covenant United Church of Christ. I've spoken to you about that church a couple of times in South Holland, Illinois. At some point, he's going to come and speak to us. So he'll be one of our visiting preachers who you'll hear in the coming months. So I'm looking forward to that coming to light real soon. He and I took some time because the women were in their conference, and I didn't have any part of that. So I got to sneak out of here and just hang with him. And that was really cool. We and I, you know, he wouldn't let me wear my brown shirt, but nevertheless, we got in the car and we took some trips and just went some visiting some places that he hadn't seen here in our St. Louis area. I knew almost every place except one. I knew it and I'd been there, but I kind of didn't remember the exact way to get there. So, trusty smartphone, put it in. Drove, didn't really know exactly where we were going, but eventually we got there, and upon our arrival, we heard those famous words, "Let me see if you know them like I do. You have reached your destination, arrived." And when we got there, kind of pulled over to a parking lot, and I just said, "We're here." We just took a moment, because it was significant for us. And I just said, "Wow, we're here." And he just kind of paused. And we did some reflection. We took off. There's nothing like reaching your destination, is there? Nothing like finally getting where you want to go or where you need to be. For me, this last installment of this series, Breadcrumbs, represents that truth. For the last 2 weeks, we have taken the journey around discovering and remembering and embracing God's mercy through this series called Breadcrumbs. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church of Ephesus, which we have discovered is a circular letter that was the most prescribed letter to all the churches, Philippi, Thessalonica, and others, was the most read and embraced text of Paul's writings. This text that was written about 60 AD was given to the church that they might have what we like to call in our theological language, doctrine or instruction. The way that we are to live after we have received Christ in our hearts. The composite text or the concurrent text is written in Matthew chapter 5. It is the story of Jesus teaching the disciples who followed him on what we now know is the Sermon on the Mount preached at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says this in Matthew 5 and 7. Happy are those who receive mercy, for they have given mercy. Have you ever really read the Sermon on the Mount? It is the strangest form of law and doctrine that you'll ever prescribe to yourself and read from Jesus Christ, but it is the most sound instruction you'll ever gain. The verses before that talk about what it is to be righteous and humble and some others, but verse 7 is really the bridge between that which Christ says is makes us happy and that which we are called to make others happy through. And it is in this light that Paul writes the church, reminding them not only of their call to be sacrificial servants for the sake of Christ, but also calls them into order and how they are then to understand that their living in the righteous context of Christ comes through what Christ did for them. Long story short, to get to this understanding of mercy, I want to prescribe to you that Paul gave three facets of mercy. First, the before mercy. The before mercy in our lives describes what God was willing to do for us on Calvary. Remember, we talked about the fact that without Calvary, none of this matters, that it is the work of Christ on that hill in Golgotha that makes all the difference as we understand mercy. That which we did not earn, that we could not have paid for, that we did not deserve, but Christ in his loving kindness did for us, that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Then we move from that to last week's lesson on between mercy. And we talked about the fact that as we see breadcrumbs in our own image using that GPS system in our minds as we some have them in our cars, that the between mercy is where we're going and where we are currently as we watch the screen drop those little pieces down that we're currently taking. Between mercy describes that with that God went and did while we were still in his process of being transformed. And we discovered that in the work of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that this whole writing tells us that God provided instruction in response to their worship. Those eight words that are key. God provided instruction in response to their worship. That their worship was the conduit, the facilitator of God saying to them, this is what I want you to know, and this is how I want you to live, and this is how I want you to receive me, and this is how you live in my mercy. The between mercy of God. And so today, I want to offer you three elements of the final phase of God's mercy. After mercy. After mercy describes how we understand how and where, catch this, God brings us through it all. How and where God brings us through it all. And 6 and 7 of Ephesians 2 in that text helps us understand it better. Let me read it for you. Verse 6, and God raised us up and seated us in heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that he has shown us in Christ Jesus. Troy and I sat in the car and we said, what do we do now? What do you do when you arrive at your destination, when you have received God's mercy? Here's the good news of the gospel, that it's not over. that God's mercy, although you have received it, it is still working, still active, and there is more to it if you're willing to seek and pursue understanding and clarity of it than you ever imagined, but you've got to be willing to go after you have already experienced God's grace to see what's next. How do you do that, Troy? Well, there are three things. I'm almost through. Here they are. First, as we walk in the after mercy of God made full in Christ Jesus, as we have understood ourselves in our lives, we first must show others where we found or encountered God's mercy for ourselves. That's the first facet of the after mercy of God. See, I have discovered that people who have experienced God's mercy cannot contain it within themselves and hold it in privacy or in secrecy. It is impossible to gain God's mercy and be selfish with it. Psalm 118, verse 24 is helpful here. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David, in the midst of his life that is full of opportunity and glory and witness of God's favor on his life, also has the moment where he experiences some troubled things, some things he's failed in, some things he's made mistake in. And even in the midst of that, because he has experienced that being in the presence of God is more powerful than anything else in his life, he says to those even who look upon his brokenness and his shame while they yet still look upon his greatness, and they say, he says to them, I was glad. Have you ever needed to come into the house of God because nobody else affirmed you but God and you needed to hear that you were okay? Have you ever needed to tell somebody else, even in your prayer life, even if they didn't understand it, just to the mystery of being a spiritual person, that somehow you needed to give them the grace of their forgiveness and say it's okay? Whatever that is, it's in the presence of God where you understand that showing other people through your witness of receiving mercy is the afterglow, as I like to call it, of God's mercy. It's the ability to people say, for you to say to other people, just like I have received his grace, you too can gain it each and every day of your life. First element of God's after mercy is to show others that where we found or encountered this. And let me tell you, it's everywhere. It's in the morning when you wake up. It's in the evening when you go to bed. It's in those moments where you know that you are having a great meal at a restaurant or something like that. And the reason why you're able to pay for it is not because you're that brilliant, that intelligent, or just that good. It's just because God has favored you to have what you have in spite of yourself. Showing God's mercy is like looking in the rearview mirror to remember what it looks or smells like in your life where you didn't have it, and to point others to the place where we discover our lost state and God's loving state has met up in the atmosphere and pointed us to our lasting state. Point two, the after mercy of God requires us, once we understand it, to enjoy the greatness of God's mercy. Verse 6, second section of it, listen to it. And seated us in heavens with Christ Jesus. Very quickly, I have to tell you, enjoying God's mercy makes us miracles that commission us as waiters of God's will. It commissions us. It gives us the access to serve God through his mercy. That it is not in our own strength that we do what we do and love who we love and worship who we worship. But it's just because God has keeping us. Is there anyone in here who knows that it is only God that is keeping us? Not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. It's just because he decides to tap on our shoulders in the morning and wake us up that we're here. It's only because of his powerful grace that we're here and be able to say that it is not only that we're given the gift to show other people his mercy, but enjoy it. Can I say something to you here? You don't have to feel bad about having God's mercy. Don't let false Christianity puts you in a place where your failures make you feel less than worthy of his mercy. You're worthy of it. He died that you might have it. He lives that you might maintain it. And he's coming back again that you might see it manifested. He wants you to enjoy his mercy. He said that it was good. let me make it personal for you. He saw that you were good. He said that you were good, and you are good. Help me finish this sermon. Look at somebody and say, you're good. All by yourself. You're good. Thank you. There's one final element, and then I'm done. Really, I am. Here it is. The third element of God's after mercy is the ability to stay in the setting where you first discovered his mercy. We stayed in that area for a while. In fact, Troy and I, we went to this place called Natalie's, which is a bakery. Natalie is a woman who knows how to make her desserts. He had cherry homemade pie. I picked up pound cake. In my human vernacular, let me tell you what she did. She put her foot in it. For those of you who don't understand that current contemporary vernacular, that means she made it exquisitely well. She made it really good. Here's my point. Before I could get out of the store, I wanted to open the gift, which was that pastry. I had been there before. In fact, I told Troy, I'm taking you where I have been before. See, when you know God's mercy, you stay in the setting. You remember where you've come from. You know the place that is a blessing. You don't forget a place that is really good to your heart and soul. As I conclude, this is the reason why you must stay with God, not in a location, but in his presence. It is the reason, as I finish this message, why even the robber on that hill in Golgotha, who had discovered the mastery of God's mercy, leaned over to the Savior and said to him, I know I'm unworthy. I really know I messed up. I know that I deserve what I'm getting. You ever been there where you kind of know you deserve? We don't like to admit it, but the truth is sometimes we look and say, I put myself in this fix. Here's the good news. He didn't stop by saying I did it. He said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Glorious power of his gospel is simply this. His mercy allows you to access his messiahship by how you plead with him to not forget you. That's what breadcrumbs do. They take you back to the place where you remember it's not by your works but by his deeds that you can access his mercy. This said, I want to invite you to take this moment and stay in this setting. Stay right here. Pray with me and then worship as we prepare to live in the breadcrumbs of his blessed life called his mercy. Pray with me. God, we are people who know we've been made worthy, that you've seated us in heavenly places. And in verse 7, we're told not only did you do this, but that you have shown us how we're to live for future generations. Make us people who enjoy your mercy, people who stay in the setting, but most of all, people who show others the way. Not because we know what to do, but we know one who is taking us from there to here, who loves us, whose name is Jesus. As you do, we thank you. This we ask and more in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.